Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are now in tune to the Chat and Shit podcast. Guess what? This is a podcast. And it's called Chatting Shit, boy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Sailor. Oh, where have you been? Oh, hello, Mr. Sailor. Away with the wind from shore to shore. Little track I've been working on.
I love that.
Yeah. I'll be a hit. I'll keep posting you. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, you can post me.
I'll post you wherever I want.
We could do that as an episode. Put me in a post.
Where we just record the audio of me putting you in a post box.
Yeah.
You have to lose a lot of weight for that, boy. Talking of sailors, we haven't got one on the show right now.
Unfortunately, but we've got something better than a sailor.
Exactly. This person is straight out of our comedic bloodline, yeah?
Mm. She Illuminati is, gold.
Exactly. She's someone with class, yeah?
Yes.
She's like a sister to us. One of the funniest people I've ever met. The super talented enigma writer slash creator slash actor slash part-time vegan. Used to be a gluten intolerance activist or enthusiast, but then she sort of realized that she could eat bread.
Yeah.
My on-screen wife in Ooh. People Do Nothing, the amazingly talented
Lucky lady
Lily Brazier.
Come on.
Yeah, that's correct.
Hey.
Welcome. Make sure you take your shoes off at the door, because I've just got the cleaner in and she costs 20 quid an hour. And time is money. And money is mine.
Lily Brazier, the most stunning person I've ever met.
Wow.
How are you?
It's deep.
Is that it?
Well, no, I've already done your intro, don't worry.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. Right. I was thinking, I said stunning, that's quite, it's quite extreme.
That's not enough.
Yeah,
that's outside
not enough.
Isn't,
no, no, I did one and I took your note on board as well and I said previous gluten intolerant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you're fine with it now. To judge me for that.
No. How is
it's the
old,
past.
The whole stomach,
the IBS.
Stomach issues, all good?
All good, yeah.
All cleared up.
Thank
the
God.
The mind and the stomach are really connected.
They are. That's
they
true.
Are.
Yeah.
That's fact.
For
you
truth.
Go, you know what? That's, yeah, we all know about that. Definitely.
Go on.
That's a put ego on blast. Because it happened to, yeah, it's, you know,
yeah.
You all know about that. Yeah.
I've had it.
What have you had?
Sort of a stint of IBS, real heavy. real heavy.
Yeah. It looks like you could do with it now, though, isn't it?
Pardon?
I was going to say you could probably do with it now, get rid of some of the.
Yeah, well, I haven't eaten badly in a month. Obviously, unlike you.
Yeah.
You know.
But Lily, have you been?
I'm all right. Yeah. Since when am I meant to be saying it from?
Today.
Well, we're going to pretend that we didn't try the other day and the Wi-Fi went out. So we just.
But I saw you the other day in that primary school as well, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, that wasn't. We weren't just at a primary school.
That was a long day.
We're filming something for everyone listening.
Sweating in a primary school. Yeah.
We're just chilling at a primary school. Well, schools are closed anyway, so we actually broke in and just relaxed in there on a hot day.
We never have like a luxurious unit base. Only once, actually.
Which one was that?
Japan, nightclub.
Yeah.
Did you? I wasn't in that bit, obviously.
Yeah,
it was still not the greatest, but it was nice. Yeah. Better than a school or a church or
a community hall where you're not allowed to vape in.
Sure, I was just going to say for all the I don't know what to call them, shit munchers that are listening. a unit base is where you wait and sort of wait around as an actor until you get
for ages.
Could be days. I didn't mean shit muncher in a bad way. I mean, because it's called Chatting Shit Podcast. I was thinking maybe they could be called the shit munchers.
Cute.
Nice. Yes, or the shitheads.
I like shit muncher.
Yeah, I like shit muncher because I was
like
going to say
food as well.
Yeah, exactly. Not shitty ass. Then no,
you could come out on the stage and that'd go, "You shit munchers."
Yeah, fucking. Yeah, exactly. You bloody shit muncher. Nah, we love all the shit munchers. Locked in, locked on. So yeah, big ups. But Lils, obviously, we're pretty much, I'd say, semi back to normal now, aren't we? With life.
Oh, I'm not.
Nah.
I'm locking down still.
Oh, no.
I like
keeping
it
100.
I'm the same. But
I can't wait for it to
the second wave
again. Obviously I don't want people to die.
No, but more of a fun second wave.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like it's more like we all have to lock down, but no one actually gets affected. Like heavy snowfall sort of vibe.
Yeah, like a snow day. Yeah, with a virus.
Yeah, I love snow days.
Yeah.
Lily Brazier is the surname. Is that how you pronounce it?
Brazier.
I love that. Is that French?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in the south of France.
Oh, God, you're not from Normandy, are you?
Trebian.
Exactly.
Where?
All that stuff.
No, but... So you went back home, right, for lockdown. Yeah. You were chilling with your mum and stuff.
I went to my mum's in Essex, yeah.
How was that?
It was good, yeah. Do I have to say more?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I don't know. I can't remember. It was a while ago. It was actually nice to get out of London and do nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And be by the sea and be surrounded by sort of the elderly. It was like the place I meant to be, I think.
Yeah.
Well, one day.
Retired. Yeah. Quite soon, I think. Yeah.
Well.
But no, it's nice.
And did you feel like you could just be a bit more in the moment and have those sort of meditative sort of moments because of the sea and shit?
Yeah, I used to get up at like 5 every day and go and walk along the beach and look at the sunrise.
That's amazing.
I became genuinely became quite obsessed with the seagulls
because
I wasn't seeing many people. It was actually really good. I feel like, I had quite a almost like spiritual experience, which is embarrassing to say.
Not at all. That's sick. Yeah. Like, we all need that shit. Like that's amazing. And you know, it's the polar opposite of... No, because a lot of people are, it's a stressful time, isn't it? Just having to stay in your yard and like for a lot of people.
I mean, not really.
And not for me, but like a lot of people could get affected by that because
loads of
people have gone back into their teenage mode of like going to sleep at 4 a.m. and waking up at like 2 p.m.
Yeah, I totally get it.
You did that, man.
It's good to have like a routine and get out of your head a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, I started going to bed at like 8 p.m.
Nice.
Are you still keeping that up?
No, because then I got back to London and lost it all and
London
lost myself
life,
again.
Bitches.
Yeah, city life. Yeah.
Back in the city.
You didn't have Prosecco, did you?
Sex in the City?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually working on my own remake of it.
Yeah, I tried a cocktail the other day. It was so nice.
Cocktail? I put the cock into cocktail, mate. That's a direct line.
This is a very useful part of the show. But when you need things to do, it's the recommendation part.
Recently, have you been? What can you recommend? You've been watching, reading, or listening to anything that you can recommend?
Yeah, I listened to your podcast earlier, and I was like, oh fuck! So this weekend, I started watching Jackass again.
Nice.
Oh, is it?
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought about it because it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched one film and then I was like, this is fucking great. And then watched all of them.
Did it remind you?
That's like 8 hours.
Yeah. Is that when you were younger, yeah? Like a young girl growing up? Yeah,
taking me back to being like the biggest grunger in the
world. You're finding yourself and you're looking at guys like that thinking, I'd love a guy that jumps into a dustbin and eats his own
food. I'd love to get a Bam Margera or whatever he's called.
Yeah, have you seen him now?
Yeah, I looked at his Instagram. So depressing.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Do you want to see it? Yeah.
Same stuff, really.
This is a podcast, though, isn't it?
So just skateboarding and drinking.
No, he's gone. He's not. He was an alcoholic.
Oh, is he sober now? Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Some respect.
I mean, they must have been drunk that whole time.
Yeah. I think you can see, like, over the films how they all start bloating out.
Yeah, like, kind of like Hugo.
Yeah, it catches up with you. I mean, I don't really drink. But... anything catches up with you eventually.
So recommendations from Lily Brazier. Jackass.
But no, it is actually very inappropriate. So, yeah. But the shitting's good. I also watched, have you seen Mucho and Mucho Amore? About Walter Mercado on Netflix.
Yes.
Psychic in Puerto
that
Rico.
Is nuts. Really. He's amazing, man.
I fucking love him.
Yeah.
I agree with everything he says.
Oh, yeah, he's a G. Hugo, have you seen that, bruv?
No, what's it called?
You will love it. You'll go nuts.
Mucho, Mucho Amor. That's
do you want to explain what it's about, Lily?
Yes, Alan. It's about a psychic. Is it Puerto Rico or Puerto Rico?
You know what? I watched the first 10 minutes of it.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. And he disappeared, right? And he was like a massive star.
Yeah, I'll
stick
with
it. He's just this amazingly camp.
Yeah, his dress sense was amazing.
He's like no gender, like so connected with the world. And
yeah, he's a little bit Jabuddy G as well.
I believe him though.
I believe.
I feel like Jabuddy G's like.
Does he not? Did he not study like astronomy and?
I don't think he like had a natural gift like his. What did he do? He did something.
Oh,
like,
no, wait. I don't believe him, but I believe he believes it. I don't think he's... I don't look at him like, you know, like you've got them mad, like, Christian sects that just take people's money out in America. Sects.
Right.
Yeah. And...
they do have sex, though, Christians.
Yeah, of course they do. They must do. How'd you get the kids? Money. I always thought that. How'd you get the kids? Do you know what I mean?
Well, this
miracle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, they forgive
but I don't feel like he's fucking people over. I feel like he believes his own shit, which is fine.
But what happened? There was a bird that was dying when he was a child, and he like nurtured it back to life. So then his mum thought he had a gift. So then he'd just sit on a chair and like heal people, basically.
Yeah, putting a bandage on a bird doesn't mean you got a gift.
It doesn't not. It could be a vet.
That's the gift. He took it to this mystical man who gave it an injection and a bandage around it, and it healed. So Nah, do you know what? Yeah, I guess I was more. I just thought it was a G for his whole persona and more what he did at that time for people to be themselves and dress how they want.
Yeah, kind of. I guess that's what I mean. Like he's quite like inspirational for everyone, and I love that he's just himself, even though it is slightly mental.
Mental
in a good way.
Oh god, yeah.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
Moving thus on, Lily Brassiore. Basically, this is the part where it's all about you, all right? Okay. So I want you to just take a breath. Yeah. And just tell me about where everything started for you, like when you know, like from way before we met, like from when you were
like
born.
Like a meditation technique. Imagine yourself in the womb.
We'll go one to five.
So where did everything start for you, like creatively? I know you didn't necessarily, I think like us, you didn't necessarily know you wanted to be an actor, but where did sort of wanting to be creative start for you? Like, where was your inspirations and where did that start in your life?
There you go.
Ooh, how would you answer that?
For me, it would probably be music, right? So, so it's like when I first started listening to music, playing drums, showing off in front of people, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know, really. I've never really known what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So when Steve said about doing People Just Do Nothing, I said yes.
But before that, you were an editor. Before that, you were an editor, right?
Well, yeah, basically,
how would you even get into that? Yeah, but that's creative in itself, you know? It's not just like a
normal... What were you editing? Videos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I just do one word answers. So it's great to chat. See you later. We love talking about myself. Where did it start? I don't know, really. I went to university.
Yeah. What did you study?
I did media studies and photography.
There you go. So you obviously always...
So I did some photography.
We're interested
in being creative. You had the eye.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
But you knew what a good performance was as an editor, you know?
Yeah, you know.
You can spot a great performance a mile off. Everyone says that about you.
No one's ever said that about me.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, so how did you get into editing videos? Because I don't know anything about this.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, I mean, it's quite boring. Like, I just took any job I got that came along after uni because I was like, fuck, I need to make money. So I worked for like an digital advertising agency. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Just went on Facebook all day.
Yeah.
Because I realised I didn't even know how to like answer the phone properly.
Yeah.
Like, I know it sounds stupid, but I'm a freak. So it's just like even being like, hello? Like I couldn't
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
So they got rid of me quite quickly. And then I went to some other like advertising like research place where they did focus groups. Mm-hmm. So like where you sit in a room and people eat pret sandwiches.
I used to do that. Oh, yeah. I used to do that. Yeah.
Because I used to be like the invigilator for them.
Well, so I don't know what that is.
Oh, right. she'd be the person in charge, right?
Yeah. So, like, I would never do the important ones, but, like, I'd go up to Manchester and sit in, like, a room of women in their 50s, like, my dream, and just talk to them about, like, washing machines and be like, how do you feel about this washing machine?
Yeah, because it's meant to be random, isn't it? But Ben Murray, our friend Ben Murray, he had a link, and this woman would call you like once every 2 weeks and you just go and review something. And like,
yeah, I remember you told me about that and you said there's free website. Sandwiches.
Yeah, free sandwiches.
And I was like, that sounds sick, 50 free sandwiches.
Brown envelope.
Yeah, yeah, I watched like logos. I had to pick which one I thought was best.
Yeah.
I went on a website and they were like, what do you think of the website? I was like, yeah, it seems all right.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Yeah, and they were like, okay. Anything else to add?
How about this one? Yeah, that's quite nice as well.
It's basically that. And you're like trying, I just remember like desperately trying to not let the conversation dry up the whole time and be like, what do you really think about the drum size of the washing machine or whatever?
Okay, so you said all right again. Right. If you had to choose there with a gun to your head, is this one still
there
all right?
Will be. Yeah. And there's always like one person that'll be mute the whole time, which would be me if I was in the group.
Yeah,
but it's just like fucking speed.
Yeah, I was a bit like that.
Do you feel like that gave you, because I know you and like you said, if you were in the room like and you weren't the one in charge, then it would be awkward. But do you think that gave you confidence, especially at that age, having to sort of...
public speaker.
Actually do things and be a public speaker in a sense.
Yeah. Like once the trains were delayed to go somewhere to like go and do them and I was like, yes, I'm going to miss the focus group. So I kept like deliberately missing trains because I was so scared of like having to go and do it. But then they kept pushing the time back until I had to go and do it. So that's how I felt the whole time, like panicked. Right. But then when you actually do it, it's quite good. Yeah. It definitely helped because it made me learn some social skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I was shitting myself the whole time.
So were you doing, so I only know obviously things from our perspective, like I knew that you were working in, when did you go into like working in editing then? Because when we first met you, I remember Asim chatting to you about that because he was also kind of working in a similar line of work, wasn't he?
Yeah, I, in the office, with the focus group office, they went bust. It's not my fault. And then, but they were sharing an office with like a small production company. So I just went and worked for them.
Yeah.
Somehow, I don't know how. Yeah.
Casual.
And then, then I just crossed the line. And then I was like meant to be their kind of PA, but also they trained me to like film stuff and edit.
Yeah.
But I was just so, I'm just so shit at getting into an office on time. Like, I think working in an office is so hard. So I just stroll in at 11 and like,
hope they don't say anything.
Yeah,
I can't believe that though because you're so on time with everything else, like and so overly like, prepared and shit.
Is that because you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's well because there's like more. I almost want to say like onus on you or whatever if you're doing this stuff, and it's and I want to use my brain. Whereas there, I wasn't using my brain. I'd go to the toilet and like have a nap for a few hours. And like,
I used to do that when I worked at Snakes and Ladders indoor play soft play. I go to the disabled toilet, good 40 minutes in there. This is before smartphones, of course. So I'd literally just sit in there in silence.
So I remember you used to breathe on the tiles so that there was a bit of steam so you could play noughts and crosses.
You with myself, yeah. Or practice my graffiti.
And then wipe it off and walk up.
Yeah.
So Lily, when we first met you, from my perspective, I remember we'd been doing People Just Do Nothing webisodes online. Maybe I think we filmed like 4 webisodes. And I mean, I'm gonna go out and say it, we didn't really know many chicks at the time. we're very heavy into blazing and just chilling with each other. And then Steve was saying that that his girlfriend's really funny and that we should get her involved. And I remember you turning up on the day to film on like episode five, when we were just doing the YouTube stuff. And I was kind of shitting myself because I was like, oh, I don't really know her. And we're not real actors and we've got to do it in front of someone we don't know now. And like, how did you feel?
Like exactly the same. I was shitting myself because I am like an awkward introverted freak. So I really didn't like it, so out of my comfort zone. Yeah. And then when I was only doing it to impress Steve. Yeah, and then all of you lot were like, didn't speak to me. And then I was like, you will hate me. Yeah. I was like, they will think I'm a fucking idiot and hate me. And then, but I was actually thinking about it today. Like it was when we did that scene, in Leon's flat where I was like getting you drinks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that is fucking mental that I did that. I would never do that now. Yeah. I would never be brave enough to do that. And then you started improvising at me and I was like, fuck.
Well, that's the thing, man. And like, because basically, like, I can speak for me and Hugo. We're just stoned out of our minds when you arrived and we were like, shit. I don't really know
how to believe how much stuff we've done. Hi.
So for some reason, I thought the best thing to do would be not to talk to you.
Well, no, I'll do that now to people.
No, I know, but like, when you explain it, it's kind of like now I'm an adult. So you're coming in on your own to a group of like 4 mates, like
stunning men,
stunning bloody men. And this one, Hugo still had the figure.
I prefer the curves.
You were looking your best as well.
This is when I look like my face is so fat, I look like I've been stung by
the same body shape as now, but the face
the face has gone down. I remember trying to stand in the room and then Steve going, maybe it'd be easier when you were doing your talking head. Maybe it'd be easier to just like not, because you might feel awkward. I was like, yeah, good point.
I remember that when you're like, your head kept popping around the corner, but it's fine. Like, it was more like,
no, but I just wanted to see what you were coming up with. And you were sick. It was like, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's meant to be, because obviously you understood all the humor. It's stuff that you're into. So like when you were growing up, like talk us through like your sort of comedic inspirations. Cause I know you always go, I'm not really an actor. I'm not really a comedian, but you're a fucking comedy actor in a TV show and you're amazing. So like, where did that come from? Yeah.
Chill out.
I'm coming on a bit strong. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Excited.
I think I'm just awkward. Like, I think more than like, I love, what do I used to watch? Like obviously The Office.
Yeah.
I always remember like watching The Office, because we were quite young when it first came out. I remember thinking it was a documentary for like the whole of the first series.
When I was young and first watched it, I didn't get it. I thought Gareth was funny, but
I had to come back to it. I was channel surfing. I was like, some boring documentary, and I came back to it like a couple of years later.
Yeah, I enjoyed it because but I just thought it was real. Yeah. I love stuff that's like believable.
Yeah,
I guess that's like. So I mean, I think I almost prefer things that aren't comedy.
Well, that's something we had in common, and I think like where The Office and the language of that comedy literally became a way of us communicating together as a friendship group. And I think you being a fan of The Office meant that you kind of understood that straight away.
Just awkwardness is funny, isn't it?
Yeah,
for me,
painful moments.
And like believability.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm obviously like on some sort of spectrum, but I just really need to believe stuff. Otherwise I just can't enjoy it.
100%.
It just really frustrates me.
Yeah.
I'm the same.
And I feel like we all have that of it.
Yeah.
I almost feel offended because I'm like, why didn't you just try a tiny bit harder so I can believe this?
Yeah, that's so true, man.
But it's obviously really hard.
Yeah, I'm easily taken out of things.
So when it is like a documentary about something completely like mad, it's almost better because you know it's real already.
But that's how People Do Nothing came about. But like me and Hugo, and I know Steve as well, and Asim, are similar. There's not like many comedies we're into. Like it's like, I don't know, Partridge, Peep Show, The Office are probably
Like American Office.
The American Office. But I'm talking about what we got inspired by, though, you know, early on.
And that
would have been that. Yeah. Nathan Barley as well.
Yeah, Nathan Barley.
Yeah,
but,
oh, yeah.
But more than that, and we always talk about this, is just documentaries that are just like, and it's quite, some of them is quite dark and sad and painful. But I think that's the funniest things, because, you know, you laugh and you cry in life. It's got to be honest. You're
so deep today. I love it.
Very deep, because I'm on a podcast. I'm pretending on a podcast.
Oh, I much prefer this version of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I interrupt less as well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I like it when you interrupt.
You're always into, like, I know you always tell us about different documentaries you watch, or reality TV as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, reality TV I love, because people like think it's lowbrow, but it's not. Those people are like maybe sort of living their real life, but they're not, and they have to improvise in those scenes, and it's fucking funny the shit they come up with. Even the shit acting is amazing, because the choice they've made to say that mad thing is amazing. I love Katie Price's documentary more than anything.
Really? I'm watching her YouTube. My girlfriend loves it. So you gotta watch the YouTube.
To do that tonight.
It's sick.
I just think it's such, they're all these programs are so fertile for characters, like character inspiration. Isn't it? Yeah.
Just before I said it, you're like, don't say it.
Yeah.
Also, Hugo, once you told me years ago about Club Reps? Was it that was a fucking
that's
good
a
show.
Sick show. You can't, it's not on. I had it on an old Skybox or.
I think I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, is it
on? Like some of, yeah, that was like 90s like reality TV.
Yeah.
It's not so like controlled.
Because airport, I think, kicked off. It was like the biggest big hit, and then they just started doing about anything and everything.
Well, that's what Ricky Gervais talks about. That it was around that time that he got kind of inspired by obviously about his stuff at an office, but the way of filming is that the airport documentary.
Yeah, yeah. And they have talking heads.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yes, you man. You man been on any drillings recently?
Nah, G.
Nah, same, man.
Calm, calm.
Have you guys heard of the new Beats and Grinder podcast?
Nah, G. I heard it's their man in real life, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's so cotch.
Oh, gee, that sounds so crazy.
It is, man, it is. Calm.
Calm, G.
So, Lil, so when you first met us and we did that first episode 5 thing, it wasn't... Yeah. Tell me from your perspective, we did this with Decoy as well, we'll do this with everyone. Like, tell me from your perspective how it all went, like, after that, basically.
We did the pilot. How soon? I can't remember like the timeline. Like how soon after?
I felt like basically what happened was that on that episode 5 that you were in, I don't think it's a coincidence that someone immediately emailed us about it, And they wanted to do something. So as soon as you got involved, like I think it was John Petrie, shout out John. I know Asim was also sending out emails, but it turns out it was John's email that
said, oh yeah,
is John getting in touch with us basically?
That revealed at the screening.
I guess like it was around then. I mean, I remember Steve saying maybe we should meet up more and chat more just so that our chemistry was right for when we did the pilot. Do you remember that? And I was like, I'm not just gonna meet up your fucking chick for a drink on my
date. I feel like you feel like
Steve was trying to push you to me for even back then?
Thrappling, yeah. He wants to fuck you and it's the only way to do it. I remember it was a pilot. We had those rehearsals in like a church.
In a church.
Remember
being
like, and I was like, fuck, I can't do this. Because it was like, we had to do loads of miming. And I was like, I can't act. I can't do like miming.
That was it, Lily. We must have met up for meetings before though, right? To like go through the script. So I think that's where we kind of, and we did loads of like random acting out scenes like at Bullion and shit like that. So that's where we kind of obviously all got to know each other a bit more.
Yeah, and I remember we'd go to Rough Cut and do like unofficial, read-throughs, because none of us can do them. And
Till this day, that's the they most thing you hate, isn't it?
They still think that we're exactly the same.
Yeah.
I had to have a beer at like 9 a.m. Do you remember when we were doing the film one time?
Oh, my days, You hate read-throughs, isn't it?
I hate them so much. It's literally my worst thing. Like, I'd rather...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love that you hate them, though, because I get to sit next to you and then I nudge you if you get anything wrong at any moment and then you do the same
thing. Yeah, and then I'm like... I can't say, like, one word.
You say a word wrong and go, sorry?
I hate afterwards when they're like, can you guys stay and give notes? Like, oh, fuck, it didn't go well.
No, that's every time. You have to have notes. Yeah, yeah.
It's more like when people are like, well done, and you're like, I didn't say any words because I was so scared. What? And that silence of when you say a joke and it's like, oh, just tumbleweed.
That's horrible.
You see Steve scribble.
Yeah.
I often just pretend to scribble after that.
My favourite is when... My favourite is when Hugo evidently hasn't read the script the night before.
That happened first series. Now I'm ready.
I love it when you used to go, like, say it was a bit like, oh my God, like, I don't know, like, Corrupt FM saved, amazing. You know, Corrupt FM is saved, amazing. Oh shit, no. Corrupt FM is saved, amazing.
Yeah, I want to clear something up. Me not learning lines was series one, and me not reading the script for series one. After that, after the embarrassment of kind of turning up to things high and not knowing what I'm doing, I couldn't do it anymore.
He got back on it. Yeah. And do you know what? One of the best things that come out of that was Beats's character traits, which came from series one, which is a sort of looking upwards.
Yeah. I think I do that naturally to think. So I am thinking of the line, right? And I do only learn my lines. I don't learn everyone else's.
Yeah, that's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just have a word. I write on my phone and then I have a word. So if Grindr says next week, that's like he'll have a whole sentence and then say next week at the end. And then that's where I'll know.
The cue.
Yeah.
But then by the 25th take, it all changes.
Oh yeah, we never stick to the script anyway, to be fair, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, because I take 25.
But that's the sick thing with you though, Lils, is that we didn't kind of just need someone that could do the lines. It's someone that was like an improv master like yourself, and much like ourselves, to be fair. Yeah, but that was sick. Right? That was when we knew that we all had a connection in it, where you were just the missing piece of the puzzle, where we just all could improv together. Yeah.
But I do love podcasts,
I'll tell you this in real life as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
But especially like you two have spent like weeks at a time in that flat in Brentford doing manic days of non-stop stuff. So like you kind of know each other's strengths, which is sick.
Defo. And like you know, improv isn't just about obviously just saying things, it's about lining people up at the right time, knowing what they're how they're going to react. So it's like really important, you know what I mean? And
I do feel like when we did the film and we were doing like those, that first time we did Talking Heads together in Japan, I was like, oh shit, like we do have that rhythm of like, I know how to like, I guess we both know how to like set each other up.
No, it's true, but it's that rhythm, right? And it's about being like giving, you know, in a with improv as well, isn't it? Right. And like me, obviously me and you, Hugo, have that chemistry, but we'd spent years of being friends before this, do you know what I mean? So to have like an outsider come in and click like that was like is an amazing thing, you know?
Yeah,
it's lucky. Because I could have found you annoying. Yeah. But
say again.
I could have found you really annoying, but
because I used to find you annoying, I never told you that.
I mean, you're fucking hard work.
I'm fucking hard work. But that's the beauty of it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We love.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lily.
Yes, Alan.
Do you remember the time when we had to kiss on screen?
God, we'll never forget it.
Fucking hell.
I remember like walking up the stairs to the flat and being like, I can't fucking do this.
Oh, man.
Because I was going out with Steve then as well. So then he was being really weird about it.
Yeah.
And I knew that you would be fucking weird about it, but then
well, it's not like, you're like our sister, isn't it? So like fucking
yeah, I kissed all my family.
It's how you learn.
Yes,
that's why I'm so good. Yeah. Yeah, I remember like you know that feeling sometimes. Well, I get it quite a lot where I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I felt like that complete 100%. Terror. And then on that first take when I went in for the kiss and you jumped out the front door.
So like just to clear this up, yeah, it was super awkward. Lily's obviously it's like you know Lily's like our sister as well, known each other for like 8 years, and first ever on screen kiss with anyone, not even just Lily, and
first kiss,
same first kiss in life basically. Yeah. And also her boyfriend, who was Steve at the time, was behind the monitors watching it. Like, this is fucking painfully awkward, man. And then Jack, our director, didn't tell me that we were going into the next scene from the other scene. Like, so I didn't know that we were going for the kiss at that point. And then Lily went towards me and I just did like an X with my hand, flinched and backed out the door.
Yeah, I was just there with a billion people just staring at me.
I know. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And you're like, we're meant to be doing the kids. So I was like, oh, yeah.
It was never going to be Tim and Dawn, was it?
Oh, man. Well, I got there in the end. Got there in the end, definitely.
I mean, we genuinely did like 22 takes of it.
I think we must have lipsed about 12 times, man. And
no, it's more than that. It wouldn't end.
And what about the first time we actually got together? I just smashed my teeth into yours.
I remember like, having to like pin you into a corner almost to like make you just stay down.
No, I was worried about falling in love with you. That's what it was. So,
I know.
So I had to be very careful on set.
I'm addictive.
Yeah. Oh God. And I'm insatiable. So
together
we're like Ferrero Rocher. Yeah.
It causes a fire. You know?
It causes a fire.
A spark.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. They can.
Yeah.
But we did kiss, yeah. So, and then you kept saying, I remember that day you just kept being like, we're kissing. Like, once you got into it after like seven takes, you're like, we're kissing, we're doing kissing. And then Steve like stormed out.
And then afterwards I kept going, ah, you kissed me.
Yeah, you just kept being like, kissing.
Oh, yeah. It's quite inappropriate, but also a coping mechanism, probably.
Yeah.
You know.
It's so horrible. I'm sorry. Yeah. No. I wouldn't wish it on the worst enemy. You know, it's definitely a weird situation.
Yeah, it's mad. So, what? How did you feel as you start getting more attention for people to do nothing?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not really made for this shit. I think
out of all of us, you're the most uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, because I recently like learned the word introvert, and now I just say it all the time because that's what I am.
Yeah.
So like I'm just
always. I learned fertile.
Yeah,
and that's what you are.
I'm a fertile introvert.
Yeah, that's what I am. Yeah.
So fertile stings.
Fucking hell!
Can smell it.
It's just manure
and semen. Yeah. It was just a bit weird, like almost like I can't remember it because I sort of didn't really know it's happening. You know, when you're in the moment, you almost think it's just going to be like that forever. So I was like, I'll enjoy it later.
Yeah.
It's stressing me out now.
I mean, I'm talking about like getting recognized and stuff like that.
Oh, right? Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's really, I'm just so bad at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm awkward and it's like, I don't know what you want me to say. So I come across as rude, but I'm not trying to be rude. I just don't want to be shit.
And that's a disclaimer for anyone that approaches.
Yeah. I think it's all right now. Past the peak, so yeah,
it's been a while.
Probably appreciate it, if anything. Oh, nice. You remember me, do you? You spin the telly.
Those are the bloody days. Yeah.
What's that all about?
Oh, okay. It's back of the corner now. Yeah. Ghost of Christmas past. It wasn't even Christmas. No.
Ghost of Christmas past.
Ships in the night, sailing away. Titanic. What? So when you obviously, I think, well, Asim as well, but you started putting yourself out there a little bit more and got yourself some other gigs, let's say, other jobs outside of it. So was the first one the movie, or was it the other series that got commissioned?
No, it was a pilot of that other series. I don't know why everything happened at once. Like, I don't know why do things work like that?
Yeah, I know.
Why did it all happen at once? Why couldn't it have been spread out?
Yeah, like, well, there's a famous saying that I crafted once, is that you wait for a bus all day and two come later at the same time.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
I've not heard that one.
Well, me and Hugo have been working on it for a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the pilot and then did the film, luckily, because in the film there was like, because you know when people just do nothing, we don't actually do anything properly, like, you know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Blocking and marks and stuff. So luckily I did the wannabe pilot,
yeah,
despite it not being great, because
no, it was amazing. I loved the wannabe, but just to let people know, yeah, in People to Nothing's a mockumentary, so it's a lot more loose. You don't have to stand in certain bits because you've got like a free roaming camera that can just pick you up. Whereas in like classic sitcoms, you have marks that you've got to get to, and that. So that's what you're talking about, right? You haven't turned all that. Yeah.
And like not looking at the camera. So basically, I was so pleased that I did that, just so then when I was doing the film, when they put, they were like, go to a mark, I knew what it meant because I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
And like, when I was filming the film, I kept thinking, fuck, am I looking at the camera?
Yeah.
Like one day I couldn't even look anyone in the eye. And I was like going to the mirror and practicing where I was looking. I don't know, I lost my mind.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, you meant to look left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Camera.
And I've been talking to people and like looking past them because I was like, I can't look anywhere near the camera because I'm panicking.
Same when I was, the only other thing I did that wasn't people seeing nothing.
Quite a big Netflix film.
Well, yeah. But yeah, even with that, if I knew the camera was near me, I was scared to even look in a direction because I was worried. Because you know what it's like when people see nothing, like, I'm constantly like, looking at the camera and shit, looking right down the lens. So it's just, it was mad.
It doesn't matter if you catch it. Yeah, whereas like...
Yeah.
When we did a taster for something else, I remember they had a camera on a crane and it came all the way down, like swept across the car park. And in my head, I was like, don't look at it. Don't. And then I can see in the taster, my eyes look at it, like, I can't help
just,
it.
Just quickly, just flip just quickly. Quick. Yeah, it's hard, man. Like when you've done that near enough, I don't know, that 9 years of just fucking none of
staring
these rules,
down it.
Just staring down a barrel lens, doesn't matter where you stand, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And suddenly,
or what you say.
Yeah, or what you say, in a sense, it's true. Yeah.
With so much freedom.
They're never going to go, cut, what the hell are you doing? Like with whatever you say, you know what I mean?
Because I did, like, I got dropped from this. I did a taster for something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I stumbled on one word and they were like, cut, we're going to have to do it again.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck, I am fucked.
Was that English? Was it a British thing?
Yeah.
Or Spanish? Wow, I know you're a Mexican actress at times.
Yeah. I'm quite big in Puerto Rico.
No, because I heard in America, they like on obviously the big shows and that, they get mad about that. Like, you
but it's so, to me, it's the opposite. Almost like if you stumble, it's amazing because it's natural.
Natural, yeah.
And if you say it in your own words, it can be better because it's like more believable. And it's like,
that's exactly it.
When I say lines, it's shit because I'm trying to remember the lines.
100%.
I'm just not an actor, am I? So
no, it's not even that. We're all like that. Like if Hugo, if you read something and you're like, well, I wouldn't say it like that, or my character wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? Like,
when I did a famous, massive short film that no one's seen.
Well, it's not out yet, but they will.
Yeah. I spoke to my agent. It sounds like an arsey thing to say, but I was like, do you think it'd be all right if I sort of changed some of the lines? And he was like, oh, I don't know, mate, you're gonna have to speak to the writer, mate. And then I was like, all right. And then as soon as I came in, like nervous, I was like, can I chat to the writer for a minute? And then came over and I was like, I might, if it's all right, on like one or two takes, change some of the lines. And he was like, yeah, mate, do your thing, man. Dude, I want you. And I was like, sick.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
I'm going to change all of it then.
Yeah, that's amazing. Especially with something like that where they've literally, they've casted you for you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, they know what they're getting. So you want to get the best version of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. I know what they want. Exactly. They want beats with a different
accent. And also, by the way, I'm happy to promote that film every week on this podcast until people watch it.
Thank
you. Can we hear what the name of it is again?
Shit, I've forgotten what it's called.
Oh no, isn't it the announcement?
Yes, that's it.
Yes, yeah.
The announcement.
Yeah.
And it's got Lynn from Alan Partridge in it.
Yeah, man.
Big time.
Big boy shit. Yeah.
Big
boy shit.
Big nice. Big actors.
The big shit.
Big bloody time.
Only the best.
Yeah, only the best will do. Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah. Is that their slogan?
Are you doing a link?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's a callback. Yeah.
Full circle.
So, Lily, tell us about the film then that you did and how that came about.
I did.
And imagine you're talking to people that don't know.
Yeah.
I did a film. I did a self tape, which is where you tape an audition.
Okay.
Love
for
that.
A film. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
The name of it?
The name of the film. I did a film called Juliet Naked.
Yeah.
Oh,
which
wow.
isn't a porno. Which is a Nick Hornby adaptation. A few years ago. I don't know if anyone actually watched it in the end, but it was with like really famous actors like Rose Byrne, Ethan Hawke, Chris O'Dowd.
Sick.
And the director was
G, man.
Yeah. And then I did and the director was called Jesse Perez, and he's amazing, and he's directed like Girls and Glow and those are massive Sick. TV shows and films. And I was a bit out of my depth, really. But yeah, it was good. It was just all a bit surreal. It was like we won the BAFTA, and then the next day I got that role.
That's
so it's all a bit
mad.
Much.
That's
it was too much. It's like, why can't it happen over
Sorry,
10
I don't know,
years?
I don't know if it got glitchy then, but what was the first bit you said? We won a BAFTA.
Oh, fuck off.
We won a BAFTA, yeah.
And
people just do nothing,
yeah. Yeah, a while ago now, the world's moved on.
Exactly.
Yeah, somewhere.
Oh, we'll speak on that another time. Yeah, BAFTA, we're putting you on a back burner for a bit, you naughty little fucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, God. We won a BAFTA, and then I got a part in a really big film, even though I never wanted to be an actor. And then I had to go to New York to do the read-through.
Had to go to New York? Sorry.
Yeah.
You mean I flew out to New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it should be like that. That's why I feel bad that I even got the part, because someone who's, like, trained for years and is, like, confident
oh fuck
whatever.
Them you, yeah. listen,
you, got that, you, rather than a miserable cunt like me
no yeah and you did your own training where you didn't even know you're training just by being who you are in life. That's how you can act Ooh. The way you do, so
yeah.
fuck them you know
and
I mean?
Wow. Some people feel that they deserve that, but they're
you know
like
I'm saying?
But they should have it because they've been training at it for so long.
Oh, do you know what, Hugo? I was just listening to something off the back of that, yeah? This is sick, Lily. You've got the right attitude, yeah? Because I was listening to Alan de Botton, yeah? And I get my brain training off of Sudoku and Alan de Botton's weekly podcast. Get the fuck out my mind. That's a little Peep Show reference. But he was saying that anyone that thinks that they deserve to get to that high peak where they are, it is not a good thing, because they're automatically in a sort of a mirror to that. They automatically assume that the people that haven't got anything deserve to be where they are.
Yeah.
So it's not always a good thing to feel like you deserve it. So you're doing the right thing, Nils.
You're entitled to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like self-hate forever. Yeah.
Well, no, not self-hate and not self, you know, it's just the middle ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been learning about that.
Yeah. I've been sending you paperwork every week. And urine sample
pisses on the paper.
Yeah. You know all this, Lily. I'm telling you stuff you already know.
Yeah, I know. You're teaching your grandma to suck eggs. Yeah.
Did me grandma suck a pickled egg? You're right, she did. Now next. So that's fucking mental, because at the time, obviously, it's amazing, you know, everything we achieve with Pooch to Nothing, but you were like the first person out of the crew to like do something huge like that. Like, go tell us how it went down when you had to go all the way out to New York for the read through with all those people, because I know how insane.
You know how much I love a read through,
exactly.
So it's great. Yeah. And then the read through was in Jesse, the director's like massive brownstone in, I don't know, wherever,
Brooklyn,
somewhere in New York.
Bronx, Williamsburg. Yeah.
Brownstone.
Yeah, somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
East whatever, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Brooklyn Heights, that's where it was, yeah. Oh, and then I got there, and there's just loads of like people that you vaguely recognise from like American TV shows. And
yeah.
the producer was Judd Apatow. Right. He wasn't there, luckily, because I would have shat myself even more. But like all the, he works with loads of other people. So like they were all there and they're all like, oh yeah, well, I don't know. Just everyone had worked on these massive things.
Yeah.
And then there was like weird freak me just sat at the table, like terrified. And you know, like a read through, they have someone that does like the male and female voices.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I was sat next to the person doing the male voice, but it was did you watch Girls?
Yeah, well, I know what it
is. Basically, this guy, the man, I can't remember his name, but he played like Marnie's husband and he had like an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And I loved that show, so I was like, fuck, it's him.
Well, and he's just doing the, that's what I mean, yeah, that's mad.
And he was sat next to me and I was like, oh, classic, like, what are you up to then? Yeah. He's like, oh, I just finished doing X-Men. And I was like, oh fuck. Cool.
What are you been up to? Just like a tin pot. A tin pot comedy about pirate radio in England.
It's not much, panicking.
Tell us a celeb story from when you're in New York.
No, I don't have any.
Yeah, no, good.
Did you hang out with any of them?
Like the day before the read through, we went to Jesse's house, his brownstone, basically Rose Byrne and Ethan Hawke came round and we all had Turkish food together. That was quite stressful.
That's nuts. Yeah. Did you go?
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Did you tell them about Dalston, where you used to live, having a lot of Turkish restaurants? Or
I don't know if I said anything. We were panicking, trying to make a flat or shaking.
I would have said that would immediately.
That's why you would have been great, and that's why you were so successful, because you were quite good at talking.
You guys heard of Mangal? They're all talking, and then I just go, you guys heard of Mangal on King Tonight?
And they Google it and be like, here. Yeah.
Much better than this shit, isn't it? Yeah. Spitting out. Anyway, what are you up to?
You spoke to Denzel recently, Ethan.
Yeah. And they're all like talking about massive projects they've just done, and I was just like, I'm only just given up like my other work, but looking at them
going, why are you doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta do an independent, it looks good.
Oh. it's a tax break for us. Oh, okay, yeah. Right, okay. Oh, like charity, it's exactly what it is. Yeah. Charity.
I was basically a competition winner.
Yeah, that's how I was, like, all the time. Yeah,
on like a sort of special trip to meet some famous people. But yeah, and then like we were filming in Kent, like near where I grew up. So that was quite weird. But I don't know what else to say really. Kissed a girl.
I played
Rose Byrne's lesbian sister, and I had to kiss a really fit, like tiny, beautiful, successful actress.
Which you're used to. Bad. Doing shit like that, innit?
Well, actress.
Well, I'm quite feminine, innit?
Yeah, you do. Big hit. Hips tiny, don't lie.
Yeah, the hips don't lie.
Yeah, you've got a bit more to hold on to. Yeah, there wasn't enough sort of scaffolding on
there. So in a way, I'm better looking, you know.
Yeah, I can really lean on you.
Whole package.
I can't do that.
Yeah, full body weight. You can hear him. you can hear him breathing.
What was it? Did you actually have to kiss her?
Yeah. I had to kiss her and then like stop the door from closing at a very specific moment, and everyone was getting so annoyed that I wasn't doing it at this exact time. Yeah. And I was like, I'm kissing her. And they kept telling me to be more passionate, and I'm the least passionate person in the world. So I was just like, fucking hell.
I can vouch for that. I was in receiving end of one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Very limp. What? Mouth.
Well, did it feel, was it more awkward or less awkward than our one?
Less awkward because she was just up for doing it rather than keep going on about kissing. No. We were quite professional with the kissing.
Yeah, no, but in a way, I sort of trained you for that moment. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I was glad to have done you first. But I mean, it was good. And we did like loads of improv in it and stuff as well. So that was fun. And like once I'd relaxed, I did have a nice time.
Was it the same sort of vibe in the sense of like relaxed about the lines sort of thing?
Jesse, the director, is amazing, and so like I don't know what's the word, like supportive and encouraging, and wants you to like add to it. And like when you're, the difference between like doing a stiff read through and like having an out-of-body experience panic attack to like being there when you're like the character and you're like in the costume and you're in the place is like, that's so fun, like that's a good bit. You can like really enjoy it.
If
only people could just trust me to prepare it all in my head without them knowing if I could do it or not, 100%. Then I'd enjoy it. But like all the admin of having to prove that you can do it is the difficult bit.
So that's the anxious bit.
But like, so it was really like, it was really fun. And once you get over the fact you're surrounded by very famous people, which I'm sure you had when you did your film as well, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of us. Both, yeah.
We've all had it, yeah.
Both, yeah, yeah then.
Yeah.
All right, Livy, what does the future hold for you, man? Have you been using, like, this time in lockdown to write and develop other things, or has it just been on pause?
I have been writing something. Sorry. My own script for something.
Diary of your life that you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm doing my life story. It's quite, yeah. And I don't know, it's like a weird time, isn't it? Because everything's a bit fucked. So I quite like having a bit of space to not feel that pressure. Yeah, I mean, definitely. Obviously, you need to make money somehow. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like waiting to see what happens a bit, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat, really, with that.
Yeah. But it's like it's a bit worrying, but a bit something reassuring about everyone being fucked because you're like, yes.
Exactly. And it's nice to not have to be in that sort of competitive rat race because no one's kind of on it. But also at the same time, if you've got a few little things creatively to like keep you having that sort of worth and keep you active, then sweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And like, I guess having this space makes you realise that the rat race, as you put it, is kind of shit anyway. Yeah. So just chill out a bit. Yeah.
I wouldn't choose the thing rat race. I just thought that's how you should put it, just to put it out there.
But just like success and like stressing yourself out and looking at what everyone else is doing.
Bear trap.
Bear trap. Something that
exactly.
It's all shit.
No, it's true.
Yeah. I felt like that doing loads of auditions at one point. Loads meaning three. And I was
still loads for us, boy.
Yeah. And I was like, I hate it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. They're a lot of energy and you don't get much back.
I'm just going to work on my own shit until jobs get thrown at me one day. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
And if not, manager of the call center. Here I come.
Oh, I wouldn't mind a job there.
Oh, well, good inspiration. You probably work there for a bit and then start writing again, innit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll work at Colton. There you
go. You're welcome.
Wow, DJ Ostrich, why you stop the show? Well, I'll tell you, bro. This is the most important part. It's the question everybody wants to know. No, it is not what is your favorite jean fit. No, it is not what is your favorite size inch television. It's what is your favorite sandwich? Is it chicken? Is it salami? Is it cheese? Is it ham? Is it pickle? Is it jam? These are all questions I'm sure you are thinking. But right now you're gonna find out on the Chat and Shit podcast. Yeah, baby, come on.
Right, so this part of the show is one of the most important questions we like to ask. And I think you were there for the birth of this question. What's your favourite sandwich?
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
All of Tokyo.
I mean, can I just say, can you just maybe paint the picture of how it sort of went down in the first place? Go on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I came in after you'd started talking about what's your favourite sandwich, but I heard the murmurings from everyone, like just even in the minivan when I got picked up.
Yeah,
everyone. I can't remember what sandwich is in Japanese, but everyone was saying it.
Yeah, sando.
Sando, yeah. Everyone was just saying, what is it? What's my sando?
Yeah, trust me, man. It broke down that barrier, the language barrier.
Yeah, And it went from top, like your favourite to like top three, top five, top ten. Top 10. It's exhausting.
And here we are now. So what's your favourite sandwich?
Oh, someone's been practicing.
Yeah.
Now you said Japan, I'm thinking about that fucking egg sandwich.
Lawson's egg sandwich, yes.
Yeah, which I don't eat egg now, but at that time I ate a lot of egg.
Do you know what, Nils? Do a top three and whack that in there. That's
okay. All right. I have actually got two because I did also write this down beforehand. So number three, I'd say, is a Lawson's egg sandwich because that fluffy cloud bread.
Wow,
and when you're pissed and you can just go in there at 3 a.m. and buy maybe two of
them
on your hotel bed.
And it's weirdly like sweet for the first bite, like for the first
bit. Sugary.
But and I don't really like sort of sweet, savory things, but then it hits you with the creaminess and it's just.
You're creamy. Yeah, it's like, how is it so creamy? Do you think it has cream in it?
Whipped cream.
Squirty cream.
The crunch is 100,000.
Katsu in as well.
Oh, yeah, banging. Katsu sandwich.
They're bloody good at sandwiches, aren't they?
Good at everything.
And then I'd probably say banh mi with tofu.
Yes, banh mi's my one, yeah.
And then my number one is bad.
Go on.
Subway, 6-inch.
Nice.
Veggie
Delight.
Yeah, all Veggie Delight with sweet onion and mayo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I've tried that.
That's number one.
Well, not number one.
No, 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 but
maybe
I get it.
Maybe number one.
Yeah, but it's like your comfort kind of vibes, right?
Yeah. Once I went to Asda on Old Kent Road, sat in the Subway cafe, just watched the traffic. Put on Veggie Delight, and it was a great moment for me.
You were literally at home before that. You just went out.
Yeah,
I get into myself. Subway for a bit and then out of it. But
no, that's a six, Aleki. That's a strong one, Lils.
Thank you.
And then now the slightly more important part of the show, because it's about us, as in me and Hugo, is the three questions round. The three questions.
Okay. It's quite good. This is like blind date, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, first one, Michael Scott or Kenny Powers?
Oh, hello! Michael Scott for me.
Okay, why?
I love them both so much, but... Oh man, Michael Scott, like he's just so, I mean, Steve Carell's so sick. He can do a glint of the eye. There's a change in the glint of his eye and you know exactly what he's thinking and everything's just changed in his mind. He's gone from being on top of the world to being sour and fuming just by glinting the eye. He's just so sick, man. And he's such a big baby. He's like an endearing toddler, isn't it? Like, he's like, he's not as dark as obviously Brent. You know, Brent's got like more of a dark side to him.
Brent's more needy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like Michael Scott is proper needy, but also he wins sometimes, doesn't he? Because he's more American. It's like,
yeah.
He does well sometimes.
I would say Michael Scott as well. Just spending time with, if I had to spend time with both of them, yeah. Like I could tolerate Michael Scott way more than Kenny Powers.
Oh yeah, I like, think you can.
Kenny Powers in short bursts would be fucking amazing, but Michael Scott would be just. I could hang around with him all the time.
Yeah, good. But I mean, they're both G's, man. Like, but yeah. Michael Scott for me.
Good question. Yeah, I'd say Michael Scott.
Shall I do the next one?
Go on.
This is a bit more serious. What's the best piece of advice that you've got in this industry?
Oh, fuck. You go first.
It's quite hard, but I want to know. I can answer it first if you want.
Yeah, you answer it first.
Basically, it made me think of, because Tom Davis... was saying last week about writing, like you should just start writing, like don't put it off, don't overthink it, just write it down, because your first draft, like no one's ever going to read it apart from you. Yeah. So you're just doing it for yourself, and that was like with such a breakthrough for me. I was like, oh yeah, shit, because I always overthink and take ages to do shit. Yeah, so yeah, that was useful.
Do you know what, I guess I've been asked this before, and I don't think anyone's ever really given me advice. Like, no one's really sat down and been like, this is what you should do or whatever. But maybe more like taking inspiration by watching people and how people operate is the same sort of thing, right? Don't overthink it and just do it, because like, the overthinking of it is way worse than the actual action of it, right? So I guess just do things, really.
Just do it, basically. Mine was from it's not to do with acting per se, but it was from Naughty Boy, the producer, and signed a publishing deal, and it just felt mad that I had to get all these songs done, and like they paid me money, like Sony. I was just like quite anxious about it, and I wanted to do anything and everything for about 2 weeks, and he was just said to me, just don't chase it, man, like let it come to you. And it's probably like a real basic thing to say, but I always think of that.
No, that's sick.
Like,
yeah,
when I see other people, you know, doing stuff and making moves and it's not happening for me, I always just think that like it came to them naturally. That like generally all the sick things that people get, they get it naturally. So
yeah,
you know, like obviously when the opportunity presents itself, you've got to go hard.
That's the thing, and like, you should work hard like regardless, but not chasing that thing, just work hard.
Yeah, exactly.
God, there was question three.
That was quite deep, wasn't it? I like that.
Yeah,
good. This is deep. What animal would you be and why?
I reckon maybe I'd be
a dolphin.
Me too.
Wow.
Because they're sick and they can still chat.
Damn.
Like, no one can really fuck with you in the sea. Apart from like a killer whale. But if you're in a pack, you're cool.
Yeah, you're right, isn't it? Usually, yeah.
Exactly. You're nearly at the top of the food chain.
Well, all right, then killer whale then.
Yeah. Very aggressive, and depends what you sort of hunt for. But yeah,
to be honest, I'd love to say killer whale, cheetah, jaguar, lion, but I'd probably be some sort of monkey. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like the wanking one.
Yeah, like the wanking.
Just wanking in a tree with his arsehole.
Yeah, with the arse, yeah.
Wanking at monkeys.
Sore arse.
Yeah. But in the monkey world, that's fine. So, that's, you know what I mean? I wouldn't do that.
Like. Display of power.
And it's fine at home if you're doing it.
It's quite a classic question, isn't it? Like, what animal are you? I've never actually thought the answer to that. So, that's the reason I've...
You're welcome.
I'm not happy with it. the reason I've thought monkey is that it's closer to humans that you can actually... Do you know what I mean? Walk on and shit. You can communicate. Quite intelligent. Yeah.
You should watch Animal Dynasties now. About the monkeys.
Yeah. Well, is that your plug for this week?
Yeah, well, yeah. You wouldn't survive a minute. So...
anyway, Lil, I'm going to ask you a question that I think we know the answer to. But are you our continued and new best mate?
Yes.
Yes!
Amazing.
That's been Lily Brasseur Brazier, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
Well, weren't that a corker of an episode? Corker. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Big up Lily. She smashed it. As a proper joke, I always love doing them with people that are basically fam. Innit, Hugo? What do you reckon? Oh, what's that? You're away again and can't be bothered and just let me do the outro again on my own, eh? Yeah? Brilliant. So, yeah, Hugo's away. I'm doing this outro on my own. Just got back from what I'd probably call the third segment of my birthday month. Just come back from a beautiful little place called F Forest, or probably just Forest in Welsh. Sick little cabin retreat, relax the shit out myself and feel like a Zen master, fourth level Dan of relaxation. So yeah, man, shout out Lily. Remember, if you've got any questions, just shout outs, thoughts, anything, hit us up on chattingshit1@gmail.com. That's chattingshit1@gmail.com. I think next week's episode is going to be me and Hugo getting in all those questions, getting into it, and chatting more shit yet again. You lucky, lucky little pieces of shit. Big up all the shit munchers locked in, locked on. I love you so much from the depth of my heart. Penetrate your heart like a lyrical dart. Freestyle. See you later.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.